Now, some of y'all are thinking right now, I'd love to be seated, but some teenager is sitting in my place and I don't like it. I hope that's the case tonight. You know, we all have birthday parties, and when we're kids, we really don't care who shows up. We just want them to show up with presents. Tonight may be one of those nights for many of you. Usually we are very separated on Wednesday nights, but tonight is a very special occasion in which we honor those who've given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wanted to be sure all of those who could give a present were here. And I'll explain more about that in just a moment. I'm so glad you're with us. If you are our guest, I think you're really going to enjoy what's going to happen tonight, and we hope you feel welcome. If you would like more information about our church, if you are a guest, please go to one of the hubs and we'll give you some information. Somebody will be there to help you out. And if you would like the news and notes of this week, please go to one of the hubs as well. Everything happens at the hub. Just go there. Your life will be better. I trust you. Now, I don't know how to make this announcement, especially after the great Chris Hatchett took my man card away. I have a feeling they're going to have a PowerPoint slide, but there's a women's event coming up. Do you have? Thank you for not putting my picture on it. Don't change, Bill. No, don't. Okay. We have one of the most outstanding ladies' ministries in the country. Can we say that, church? And if you're not a part of that, even if you're a teenager or if you're retired, our women's ministry is a place that you can get a lot out of. And this weekend, from 9 to 11:30 this Saturday, is kind of the get acquainted brunch with our women's ministry. You're going to find out things about what's happening on short-term missions, sabbatical opportunities, spring Bible studies, small groups. They'll have workbooks for you to purchase and a summer lecture series. They'll tell you about that. And there's going to be this speaker guy, David, you're looking at him, that'll talk about our story as a church family. So if you would, come to that. There is no cost. Child care is available. If you do want child care, please call Mindy in the nursery department so that we can be prepared for that this coming Saturday morning. Now, what are we doing in here all together? Well, let's start this way. If you were baptized into Christ in 08, would you please stand? Teenager and adult, would you just stand? Awesome. Now, don't be seated yet. Absolutely. Don't be seated yet. I want you to turn around. Don't sit down. Turn around and look around you, please. Now, if you've noticed, there are people of all shapes and sizes that are now part of the family of God, and we are so glad that you're a part of our family. We're going to celebrate that birthday in just a moment. You can go ahead and be seated. We'll be bringing you up and praying over you. It's going to be a special, special night. There are times in the people of God's history, it's very explicit in Scripture, where God said, there's not even any debate about it. He says this, I want children all the way up through even the slaves to come together for a ceremony to remember what God has done. Church, this is one of those nights for Richland Hills every year. To come together, youngest to oldest, to declare that our Lord is the one that lifts us up. Our Lord, through the power of the cross, has done tremendous things in people's lives and continues to do so today. Amen, church? So what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate that. You're going to hear from different people. You're going to watch video testimonies in just a moment and a montage of all of those who've given their life to Jesus. How great that video will be. We're going to celebrate some more in word and prayer and song. But we're going to do this together as a family. I tell students quite regularly when they give their lives to the Lord, or adults for that matter, that you are marrying in not only a relationship with the family of God, and I use the word marriage because it's a strong commitment, but you are entering into a wonderful, marvelous family where you're never truly alone. And I usually tell them to look out to the audience, and I said, you see all these people? I hope you like us because you're going to be stuck with us for all eternity. And that family is powerful. Just yesterday, I was getting on an airplane flying back from Colorado Springs in the middle of this airport, wasn't expecting to see anybody. I'm going through security and someone says, David. And I turned around and there was a young man, a younger youth minister who had to head home because his wife had just received terrible news. And right there in the middle of this airport, it wasn't very busy at that moment, right there in the middle of the security area, there was another brother in Christ And I looked at him. He began to dump his heart just right there. He said, let me tell you what's going on. And the fun thing is to watch the people walking by as two grown men are talking about their God in the midst of some terrible stuff that they're going to have to go through and pledging to pray for each other. Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of family you have. And this is why we are celebrating as a family. Amen, church? We're neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We were all baptized into one body, neither young nor old. Youth ministry, adult ministry, children's ministry. We are one body. Not everybody likes that. But in this church, in our world, it's home. Let's read together. Read with me. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Y'all who've given your life to the Lord Jesus this year, it is our crowning achievement and glory and joy, not because of numbers, but because you are part of our family. And in you, as we sing, we see in you the glory of our King. The cross works. And the family we have works. Amen, church? Let's celebrate by watching this video.
My name is Kira Carrillo, and I was baptized here January 26th of last year. I decided to get baptized after my husband and I started attending church here. We just walked in the door and felt right at home, and it just really opened my heart to a lot of things that I felt we needed in our marriage and our life. I hope God just keeps my heart open for all the great stuff that I'm learning now.
I first started thinking of baptism when I realized I didn't have the love and the peace in my life that I had been looking for. I realized that the only way to receive that was through God and through my total commitment to God. I'm not quite sure what my future holds, but I know I speak boldly about Jesus to anyone and everyone. I'm so thankful for it that I can't help but try to spread it.
I was baptized when I was younger, as a kid. My grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher, and I know that I didn't have to be baptized twice, but it was kind of like a moment in my life that signified starting fresh. You know, I think God has plans for me is probably to be able to help a lot of people from my past experiences. You know, there was a big gap in my life when I was really not up to any good, but fortunately there's a reason why I'm still running around. I'm still here, and I'm sure that it's sooner or later it'll be to help a lot of people whenever I come out of my shell.
I always loved Jesus, and I feel that I have to baptize because I know then I can get more relationship with God. I hope God help me then show the good way, and then we have a really good Christian family. I don't have a husband, so it's very important to me stay too close with the church.
I'd lived most of my life as an agnostic, really. I had no real belief system. As I grew older and more mature, I heard this voice that was calling out to me, and it took me a while to realize that it was actually God. And after a few months, I started reading my Bible more, and then I talked about getting baptized. I think God is like calling me to become a police officer, because that's really what I've been having a strong calling to lately.
I started thinking about being baptized a few years back. And then last December, found out I was having a baby. And then it's kind of one of those things where it's just time to turn over a new leaf and start a new life. I hope God helps me to be a better example in the future. I would like to get involved in some volunteer work. I'm pretty handy with my hands. I'm an electrician, so I'd like to implement that in some type of volunteer work. Whatever it is, you know, it's God's will. It'll be extraordinary, so...
About baptizing just a few months back, I ran into a nice young couple, Rick and Donna. They invited me over to this church as a visitor, and the more I came to church, the more I felt the Spirit. It was just pulling me. I hope God will help me fulfill my goals that would enable me to help others. I used to be a victim of domestic violence in the past, and my goal is through the Lord, through Jesus, to be able to help other domestic violence victims, mostly women, and help what little we can.
I started thinking about being baptized based on the fact that I haven't ever had faith in my life. Introduced to people around my job that brought the spiritual side of me out. My Christian life means to me more than I can express in words. I have three beautiful kids. I want to bring them up the right way. I hope God will give me the strength to raise my family, be a better person, be a better man, and... stay on the right path.
Well, welcome to the party. It's a wonderful time that we have to
and a privilege just to be able to recognize those who came to Christ in 2008. So I want to ask two different groups to come up. First, if you were baptized in 2008, I'd like for you to go ahead and make your way up on the platform. Now, on the way up, you're going to be receiving a sticker that I want you to put on the front of your shirt so that we'll know who you are for the party out in the atrium afterwards. So, if you will, go ahead and step up, come up, and just let's just line the stage with everybody that was baptized in 2008. Also, if you're an elder, I'd like for our elders to also come up and participate in this time, too. Okay, if I could, go ahead and get you to take your seats again. Everybody up here, hopefully. Isn't this a wonderful showing? I think we ought to give them a hand again. I'm just going to go through the crowd for a minute, and I'm going to, at random, just ask one question to different folks. Ben, name one difference that Jesus has made in your life since you were baptized into Him.
Just a newfound love for people, and just a betterment of myself, and just wanting a better life for my family.
Very good. Very good. Name one difference that Jesus has made in your life.
It has helped me stand up to sin when I know it's wrong. And, yeah.
Wonderful. Jesse, name one difference that Jesus has made in your life already.
It has made me more sure of myself, more confident.
Very good. That's good. Name one difference that Jesus has made in your life already.
He's made me feel more responsible, and I can make more things. I can make more decisions on my own.
Very good. Very good. Why don't you, Nathaniel, name one difference that Jesus has made in your life.
When I was baptized, it made me feel like I could do more things that I was scared to do before.
Good. Very good. Afani, name one difference that Jesus has made in your life.
Jesus made me stronger and keep me going because I'm going through a very hard time in my life. And that's all Jesus giving me. The strength, just keep up.
Very good. Very good. Name one difference Jesus has made in your life.
I understand the sermons a lot better.
Oh, good. That's good. Spiritual discernment. We all need that. One more. Name one difference Jesus has made in your life.
A difference in my life is that I'm able to communicate with my family and change my thoughts about things.
Very good. Very good. I'm going to now just ask Kirk Parsons, if he would, to just come and give you a blessing from your elders. And all of these elders behind you are the backdrop of your life. And you can call on them any time for spiritual direction. So this will be a night that they're going to be out in the atrium also. And we're going to put name tags on them. And we hope that you'll go up to them and get to know them even better. Kurt, if you will.
Okay. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture that I always think of when I think about baptism. This is a great time of celebration. From Romans 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And again from Paul in 2 Corinthians, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's happened for all of these who are up here tonight. It's a new life, an exciting life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that's what we are excited about tonight. Would you pray with me now? Lord, it's a great privilege tonight to be here in the presence of these who just in this past year have named Your name as the name above all names, and who've submitted their wills to Your will and joined with us, Father, on this journey back to You. Father, I'm excited about the things that you have in store for these lives ahead. I'm excited about the way that you're going to use them to help defeat the power of Satan in this world. Father, they range in age from very young to somewhat older. Some of them have a lot of life experience and some of them not very much yet. But Father, you have a great new life for them ahead, a life that can be lived in victory. And Father, we know that from time to time they're going to stumble. But we know, too, that you're there to pick them up and dust them off and receive them to yourself again and to set them back on the straight path. Father, we, again, are just excited about what you're going to do in their lives. And, Father, as Jesus prayed over the 12 shortly before he went to the cross, he said to you there, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. Father, sometimes there are things in the world that scare us, some things that threaten us. And it'll be true for these because they're joining in the battle. But Father, specifically tonight, we don't ask you to take them out, but to embolden them, empower them, protect them, help them to join fully into the battle that we might defeat Satan, that we might join forces with you in bringing good into this world. Father, we know that you sent Jesus here to bring peace for us. And peace for all who seek you. And we just pray for wisdom for these as they look around them in the places where you send them in this world. Father, each one of them will go to a different corner of the world, a different place. They'll see people that I will never see. But through them, you can touch people that I'll never see. And we just praise your name for that. And I pray, Father, that you will embolden, strengthen, and empower every one of these to live life to the fullest, to live it for you in a way that will make you proud. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King. And we love you with the love of the Lord.
20 years ago, I was in the military overseas, and I got into a lot of trouble. And I got pregnant, and my boyfriend, of course, left. My parents were less than supportive, and I went to church, to the church I had grown up in. And I was told that I would have to work for my forgiveness and was not allowed to participate anymore. And it would be best if I never came back. So for 15 years, I basically lived like someone who wasn't worth anything because I related God to my church. And that was hard because I depended on God a lot when I was young. About 5 years ago, I was going through a really rough point in my life, and my mom sent me a book, and I opened it up because she knows I love to read, and I was excited, and there was this book, and it said Max Lucado on the front, and I went, cool, wonder if he's like Stephen King or Dean Koontz, and I flipped open the cover, and it said Max Lucado, a minister in San Antonio. And I literally looked up and went, you've got to be kidding me. And I closed the book and went to the post office and sent it immediately back to Florida, where it came from. And the only person more stubborn than myself is my mother. So a week later, the book came back. And I sent it back. And this went on for probably 5-6 months. And she kept calling and asking, did you get the book? And I'm like, yeah, haven't you gotten it back yet? And the book came back. And I was just at the lowest point in my life at that point, and I read the book, and I cried all the way through it, because it was like it was speaking just to me. And probably 2 weeks later, I was supposed to be in San Antonio for my best friend's engagement party, and I went, and it was a Saturday, and I asked her mom, I'm like, have you ever heard of this guy, Max Lucado? And she goes, oh yeah, his church is 3 blocks down the street from our house. So the next morning I got up and I went to his church. So I went, and the nice man at the door was handing out the little pamphlets, and he says, "Oh, welcome to our church. You're going to love our guest speaker." And right then and there I knew that I was right, that it wasn't for me. And I turned around and I gave it back to him and I went home. I drove all the way back to Fort Worth angry. Angry at myself, thinking that I could have a relationship with God. And I was angry with God for not, in my mind, loving me. And I got back to Fort Worth, and then I came around 121 and up 820, and right there on the big billboard was Max Lucado here Wednesday night. And I can't tell you what that meant. It was like God went, gotcha. And so Wednesday night I went to church and I came here, and Max talked about taking everything and just putting it at the cross. And I sat there and I cried. And I knew that he was there to let me know that it was okay. And after he talked and it was over, everyone was going up to get their book signed, and I didn't have a book with me. So I went up and I told him, "I didn't bring you a book, figured you had them all." And I told him, "By the way, you're here for me. This is why you're here tonight." And he prayed with me for a minute, and then Rick took me aside and he prayed with me. And that's when I started becoming a regular member at this church. Jeff and I met, oh, it's kind of crazy. We met, he was at work and I would come in, and I had a name tag on, and he had a name tag on. He'd always say, "Hey, Leslie, how's it going?" And I'd be like, "Hi." And we just started talking, and he was going to a different church at the time. He was raised, went to Catholic school his whole life, and went to church every Sunday. And so I started going with him on Sundays, but I made him come here on Wednesday nights. And we started coming here really regularly. And one Sunday, he stood up and he says, "That's it. We're just going to go to Richland Hills." It just meant so much more to both of us. You could feel it when you walked in the door.
We had first started to hearing about the small groups in service. And both of us, or actually neither one of us, had ever done a small group. So we found one that we could do. And first time, kind of nervous going to somebody else's house and kind of feeling out and see what it was going to be like. And sure enough, we met Norm and Sue.
Sue and Norm really just took us by the hand and explained the difference and what it meant and about becoming a follower and really obeying God's word and his commands. And it was an awesome point for us. And it was neat because Norm baptized Jeff first, and then Jeff baptized me.
Now my life in Christ is different, because not only can I see where I've been, I know exactly where I'm going.
Oh, my life in Christ is so different now. Because I know what unconditional love is and grace. And I never knew that before.
Don't you love hearing stories like this? Stories of God drawing people to himself, and sometimes God using us in the process. That's what we're here tonight to celebrate. We're here to celebrate when God draws people to himself. And we're here to celebrate because, new Christians, we believe in you. We think that through you, God can do something significant in this world. You know, when Jesus started off his ministry, he told all these parables, these stories. And in all the Gospels, or in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he starts off, the first parable he tells is a story about this guy who has a bunch of seed. And he throws it all over the place. And some of the seed lands on concrete. And some of it lands on shallow ground. And some of it lands on fertile ground. And it grows and it blossoms. But my question is, why does he start off? Why is that the first parable he tells? I think it's because Jesus knows what he's doing. Later on, when he's telling the disciples what that parable means, he says, like, those who have ears to hear will be able to hear what I'm saying in this parable, and those who don't have ears to hear won't be able to hear what I'm saying. See, Jesus knows what he's doing because Jesus knows what a seed does. He actually says it in John 12. Look at what he says. John chapter 12. All right. Okay. From memory, this is going to be rough. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Talking about what he's going to do. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel or seed of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." See, Jesus knows that unless a person dies, then the rest of what he is going to say, unless somebody is willing to die to themselves, then the rest of what he is going to say isn't going to make that much sense. And it's still true. Like, think about the stuff Jesus says. Give generously to the poor. Serve others more than you want to be served. It's a dog-eat-dog world, Jesus, right? Like, what he says doesn't make any sense unless you're willing to die to your self-preoccupation. I love the way Erwin McManus says this. He says, "Jesus' death wasn't to free us from dying, but to free us from the fear of death. Jesus came to liberate us so that we could die up front and then live. Jesus Christ wants to take us places where only dead men and women can go." And so your first charge tonight, new Christians, is this. Figure out what it means for you to die to self. What it looks like when everybody else at your work is competing for the best positions. What it looks like at the water cooler. What it looks like in your marriage or in your relationships. What does it look like for you to stop thinking of yourself so much? But that's not the only thing that a seed does. It dies, but it grows. Like, there's this natural rhythm to life, isn't there? Anybody who's got kids or just seen children knows that you want your kids to grow. In the Stormin house right now is a war of propaganda because Eden, our 5-month-old, hasn't spoken her first words yet. But she's got a lot of recommendations from both me and Leslie. And we both have our own like take on what her first word should be. And so the way that I do this is every time I'm doing something with her, I make sure she knows the name of who's doing what with her. You know, like, who's reading you a book? Is it Dada? You know? Who's playing with you? Is it Dada? Who's changing your dirty diaper? That's Mama. That's who that is. But we know this, right? We know what we want. We want our children to grow. It's a natural rhythm of life. And new Christians, you need to hear this. God accepts you where you are as you are right now. But He wants you to be so much more. See, the way of Jesus calls us forward. It says that who you are today isn't who you have to be tomorrow. It infuses us with hope that you can grow. And just a couple of practical suggestions. Like, be in community. Be a part of this church. Be a part of church. Come to the worship services. Worship the Lord. Learn about the Lord. And don't just stop at coming to this building. Get involved in a small group. Serve with other people. The way of Jesus isn't meant to be lived alone. And you're going to hear a lot of stuff about this book. You're going to hear that it's the Word of God, that it's infallible. And while those things are true, the most compelling reason why you need to be in the Scriptures is because it is the most beautiful story ever. It is this sweeping epic of the Creator God and His people. And the more you read this story, the more you spend time in the Scriptures, you're going to figure out that you're one of the characters. The more you read, it's going to let you know who you are and who you aren't. So spend time in the Word. Seeds, they die, they grow, and they bear fruit. You ever wonder why when we baptize people, we bring them back up? You ever wonder that? I mean, besides the baptism rates going way down and the legal ramifications or whatever. I mean, think about this. It's like the one-way ticket to heaven, isn't it? You're there immediately. But the reason, I think, is because baptism isn't just about us getting saved. It's not about us just getting into heaven. It's about God living inside of us so that we can bring heaven to earth. You were made for more. And that's what you said at your baptism. And now you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, helping you flesh that out. Listen, people that you know, new Christians, people that you know are going to, you may be the only Bible that they ever read. Statistics show us that within 2 years, most people who become new Christians, most people cut off all other relationships with non-Christians and just are friends with Christians. Now, you may need to get out of any kind of toxic relationship or distance yourself from people that are you know, stifling your growth for a bit. But don't cut ties with everyone, because you may be exactly what God is sending them. That the way you live your life, the way that God is transforming you with His Spirit, that you are the only Bible that those people may read. This is the basic truth, that you don't just have a message, a new Christian. You are a message. That the way God is working in your life, the way He is transforming, is showing the rest of the world how good and graceful He is. Now, I want to give you a charge tonight. But since this is the church that you were baptized in, I think we all should. So, if you're a new Christian, go ahead and stand up. I know it feels a little bit like musical chairs, but go ahead and stand up. And if you're around one of these people and you can, go ahead and put your hand on them. And we're all going to read this commission, this charge together. New people of God, may you die to yourself. Read it with me. Learning daily how to live sacrificially for others. May you be empowered by the Holy Spirit to grow into the likeness of Christ. And may God use you to bring heaven to earth. Live in His peace, new Christians. Let's worship together.
We're going to sing one final song in just a minute and then make our way out to the atrium. I do want to recognize Jeff and Leslie Furlong. Where are you? Would y'all just stand? Thank you very much. That, I appreciate it. That's such a beautiful story about what God does with people through 20 years and how He doesn't give up on them and He just keeps drawing them. And so my words as we finish and go to the party out in the atrium are to those of you who are both new Christian and older Christian, to go out there and let's hear some more of these stories. I do believe that God is drawing people even now, people we probably don't know, He wants to use us to bring to Christ. And we just need to look differently as we go back out. And I want to challenge you as Director of Outreach here that 2009, let's make every effort to see those people who need Jesus. And I want to remind you, just using seven simple images of our birthday party, and realize, just to remember what we're taking with us as we go. And the first one is just the gift itself. It should be coming up. There it is. The gift itself that we give to people is the most important gift that you'll ever give. It's the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what you're taking, the most blessed gift that anyone would ever receive. Now, the second image is the balloon. It's filled just like we're filled with the Spirit of God. He saved us through the washing of water, rebirth, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You're taking the opportunity for people to have that same filling, that same life-giving lift that the Holy Spirit brings to their life. So take it faithfully. The third image is one that Jonathan might appreciate. It's that of the plate and the cup, that which bears food. And how that you're taking the Word of God and you're challenging people to become Christians. And then like newborn babes to crave that pure spiritual milk of the Word so that they can grow up. As Jonathan's already told you, new Christians too. You're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The fourth image is the hat. You're wanting to call people to wear the hat that God has always wanted them to wear. That hat that says now you're in the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. There are so many different opportunities for us to build up the kingdom and to be His servants and to advance the cause of Christ. We're calling people to come and to wear the hat that Jesus has always meant for them to wear. Our next image is of the, I guess this is the string. And what? Silly string. If one thing is for sure, we live in the greatest kind of life, just like John chapter 10. I love the Message's rendition of this. I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And I think that people who come to Christ and stay in Christ are already realizing the truth of how special it is, more than they ever dreamed of when they started. And then another image is of the goodie bag. They're learning all the way through. They have the opportunity in their Christian life to learn all the way through of the good things because He's given us His very great and precious promises. What a privilege it says that we are now able to participate in the divine nature. What's better than that? And then last of all, we have the image of the blower, the party blower, the horn. We give people, and now you new Christians have the opportunity to go out and blow the horn for Jesus. As the Scripture says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And I challenge you to do just that as members, whoever you may be. This year, let it be the time when you drop all of your fears and you just trust the Lord. And you say, I'm going to go out there and live the party. For in doing so, we'll have a story next year because you were faithful to the call of God in your life. So let's be faithful to that call as we get ready to celebrate with these new Christians their new life in Christ. Now, we're going to sing one last song. And as we do that, I want to ask our new Christians from 2008 to go ahead and walk on out in the atrium and be there. We're going to have cake and punch and such things that we have at a party. I also want our elders to go ahead and make your way back there and look for Dago or Rusty Peterman to put a name tag on you. And then I want to challenge all of you members to go out and celebrate with these new Christians. When you see that tag on their shirt, I want you to go up to them and ask them what their name is. And I want you to ask them, secondly, what can I pray for you about? So as we stand together, let's sing this last song. Let's make our way back to the atrium after this song is finished.